ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಹಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸಾರ ಸಂಗ್ರಹ, ಶ್ಲೋಕ 141. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚರ್ಯಮಹಿಂಸಾಚ ಸಾಧೂನಾಮಪ್ಯಗರ್ಹಣಂ ಪರಾಕ್ಷೇಪಾದಿಸಹನಂ ತಿತಿಕ್ಷೋರೇವ ಸಿದ್ಧ್ಯತಿ. ಸೊ ವಿ ವರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂ, ನೇಮ್ಲಿ ತಿತಿಕ್ಷಾ, ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್ ಇನ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 137. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 141 with the importance of this value, namely titiksha. Here the importance of titiksha is highlighted by pointing out that many other values are based on this titiksha only, the most important of them being ahimsa. Non-violence requires lot of tolerance, therefore he says ahimsa. Then brahmacharya. Brahmacharyam refers to general disciplines of a Vedic student in the Gurukula, because in Brahmacharya ashrama, no comforts, especially in olden days, none of those comforts are provided to a Brahmachari. Now many of the ashramas increase the comfort level because otherwise devotees simply won't come. So in Brahmacharya ashrama, most of the comforts are denied, because a guru wants the shishya to develop titiksha. So both in brahmacharya ashrama and sannyasa ashrama, comforts are kept at a minimum. Comforts are allowed only in grahastha ashrama, and that is why when the boy goes to kashi yatra during marriage, he is given chappals for the first time. They give all comforts, putting all these perfumes, eye tucks for the eye, all those, so everything is allowed. Until now he didn't have even, because he is supposed to have come from the Gurukula. All have become, now actually in marriages and all, they all have become folks only. Anyway, brahmacharya is means he is living a simple life. Actually there are some lakshanas of a brahmachari. This I might have mentioned earlier also, but it is worth seeing again. Kaka drishti, actually there is a definition. Kaka drishti hi bhagadhyanam swana nidra tatayavacham ಅಲ್ಪಾಹಾರಃ ಜೀರ್ಣ ವಸ್ತ್ರಂ ಏವಂ ವಿದ್ಯಾರ್ಥಿ ಲಕ್ಷಣ. ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಲಕ್ಷಣಂ ಆಫ್ ಅ ವಿದ್ಯಾರ್ಥಿ, ಎ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚಾರಿ? ಕಾಕ ದೃಷ್ಟಿ, ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಎ ಶಾರ್ಟ್ ವಿಷನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಕ್ರೋ. ದೆನ್ ಭಗಧ್ಯಾನಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಸಂಟ್ರೇಷನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಕ್ರೇನ್, ದಿ ವೈಟ್ ಕ್ರೇನ್, ಯು ನೋ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ವೇಟ್ ನಿಯರ್ ದಿ ವಾಟರ್ ವ್ಯಾರ್ ದ ಫಿಶ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವಾಟರ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಪರ್ಹ್ಯಾಪ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ರೇನ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟಿಂಗ್, ವೆನ್ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ it will put the beak down and come out with a fish. So much of concentration. So it is called bhagadhyanam. A brahmachari should have that much of concentration. Then swana nidra, he should never sleep deeply at all. He must always be ready for the call of the guru anytime. If the guru calls once, I should run. Like what? A dog which is always alert. And then the guru should not shake him this fellow should not get up after waiting for the guru to shake him up. He should be alert all the time. Therefore, swana nidra. Tataivacha. Alpahara. Alpaharam, not overeating at all. He should not overeat any time. And jirana vastram, he should always wear non-expensive, simple clothes. Evam vidyarthi lakshana. A simple life requires lot of tolerance. Otherwise, it will become a luxurious life. Therefore, brahmacharyam, ahimsa, and sadhunam, agarhanam. Garhanam means criticism, censure, talking ill of sadhus and all those great people. Sadhu means saints or even the guru, for example. Sometimes guru may give a difficult task which requires a lot of pain perhaps. And if the shishya has titiksha, he will say, guru has chosen me. It is a blessing for doing this task. Otherwise, the shishya will wonder, why is he giving me this job, such a job which is so tough? My guru is partial. So the shishya, he will start criticizing the guru also. So sadhunam guruunam api agarhana. Avoidance is required. Titiksha. Finally, para akshepadi sahana. Previously, I avoid criticism, then I tolerate criticism of others. Generally, we follow the other way around most of the time. We freely criticize all others, but if someone criticizes us, we cannot withstand. All these values require the foundation known as titiksha. Shloka 142. Sadhaneshvapi sarveshu titikshottama sadhanam yatra vigna palayante daivika api bhautikaha. Sarveshu sadhaneshu madhye. Among all the spiritual sadhanani, titiksha uttama sadhanam. Titiksha is the greatest sadhana because it is relevant before and after knowledge. Until death, we require titiksha. And as we grow old, helpless situations will only increase. So without titiksha, we will have a tough time. Therefore, uttama sadhana. The greatest advantage of this sadhana is vignaha palayante. Many obstacles will become insignificant for this tolerant person. And he can treat them as pinpricks and ignore them also. Because if you are going to work on every obstacle in life, then lifelong we will be only working on obstacles only and never reach our project. And if you have to remove all obstacles and come to then Vedanta, you will never reach Vedanta also. Some of the primary ones you may remove, but learn to brush aside others as insignificant. So he says, obstacles run away from such a person. Now if you take the example of Anjaneya, all the obstacles in his great mission of finding Sita became insignificant because of his mental strength born out of Rama Bhakti. Goshpadi Kritavarashi, Masaki Krita Rakshasam, Ramayana Mahamala, Ratnam Vande Anilatmajam. In fact, remembering Anjaneya is one of the methods of building up tolerance. When everyone saw the huge samudram between India and Sri Lanka as a huge obstacle, it was a mere puddle for Anjaneya. Goshpadam means the hoof of a mark of a cow. The amount of water collected in the pit of a cow hoof, and how big it will be? As big as the hoof mark when you want to cross that ocean. So it will be almost like that for such a person. So you just walk across of that such a small pit. So for Anjaneya, that samudra became Goshpadi Krita Varashi. Varashi means samudra. Terrible rakshasa. So obstructing all the rakshasas, they were all obstructing Anjaneya. His movement was obstructed by them. But to Anjaneya, they all became like mosquitoes. Masaki Krita Rakshasam. So obstacles became insignificant for such a strong person. So Anjaneya got that strength because of his faith in Rama. Om Namo Bhagavate Anantaya Ramaya. Until we discover the inner strength through Aham Brahmasmi, the triangular format depend on God, binary format depend on yourself. So God dependence or self-dependence, learn to put up with all these problems. We have seen all this in detail earlier. Vignaha. Vignaha means the obstacles. Palayante, they run away. And what type of obstacles are they? Daivika. Daivika means adi daivika vignaha, which are the natural obstacles like rain, thunder, lightning, all those. And bhautikaha, obstacles coming from other living beings. Adhyatmika, like illness, etc., of some physical discomfort of the person. So all types of obstacles are removed. You can find two types of people at home actually. There are some who get slight cold. They get into bed and they never get up. And you have to give them coffee and food in bed, such people. And there are others who, even with a lot of physical discomfort, can do everything. So all obstacles will become insignificant for a titikshu, a person who has titiksha. Shloka 144. Tasman mumukshoradika titiksham sampadaniye ptita karya siddhyaihim thivra mumuksha cha mahatyupeksham Chobe titiksha sahakari karanam. Tasmat means therefore, since titiksha is the greatest among preparatory disciplines for a mumukshu, for a spiritual seeker, adhika titiksha, intense tolerance or a great endurance, sampadaniya must be attained, acquired. In fact, all types of vratani, the purpose of these vratas is essentially to develop titiksha. When we go on pilgrimages, we don't get the regular comfort as you have at your home. We have to sleep in different places, eat different types of food, drink different types of water and all that, and endure different types of weather. Thus, we develop titiksha. So when we follow austerity before big pilgrimages, we become ready for all types of situations. So these are the methods of sampadanam, which will help us in building titiksha. Even now people practice those things. So from here they walk to Tirupati, Sabarimala, all those places in India they do. The Chardham Yatra, Gangotri, Yamunotri, Kedar, so Badri, all that thing. So people, from Bengal, Ganga Sagara, where Ganga merges into the ocean, up to Utpatti of Ganga, Gangotri, all those places they walk. Thousands of people do Narmada Parikrama also every year. Not only do I get Adrishta Punyam, I also get toughness of body and mind, and these are all methods of building up Titiksha. That is why in our system all those things are already built in. Of course, they should be started relatively at young age. After a certain age, don't try all these, one may not perhaps come back. So, if you regularly come to class itself, that is an austerity, because to sit for 1 hour and all in the class itself is an austerity. So, sampadaniya for yipsita karya siddhaye, to accomplish the desired goal, moksha, siddhaye. Siddhaye refers to success. So, for accomplishment of moksha, one has to earn titiksha. And then he gives two supporting causes for developing titiksha also. One is mumuksha, the desire for moksha, and greater your desire, greater your willingness to sacrifice your comforts for achieving that goal. Sacrifice is proportional to the desire. Sacrifice includes sacrifice of comforts also. In a particular documentary which I saw some time ago, Swami Chinmayananda, it's a documentary on Swami Chinmayananda, they showed some episodes. There Swami Chinmayananda takes sannyasa from Swami Shivananda and he wants to study the scriptures, but there is no facility in Rishikesh for that. So Swami Shivananda decides to send Swami Chinmayananda to Swami Tapovana in Uttarakashi, which is about 400 feet above Rishikesh and over 100 kilometers long distance. The only mode of, The only mode of transport is to walk. So Swami Tapovanam is a very strict person also. He wants to know how serious this student is and gives tough tests also. Chinmayananda used to say, it seems, to survive under Tapovanam as a Shishya itself is tough. He goes there and tells Swami Tapovanam that Swami Shivananda asked me to come to you for learning Vedanta. Then Swami Tapovanam told him, I want a recommendation letter from Swami Shivananda. Go and get it. So Swami Chinmayananda comes walking back all the way down and then gets the letter and goes back. He did not mind. Perhaps if it was us, we would have perhaps known Vedanta itself. So, if moksha is available on my own terms, give it to me. I will oblige you by receiving your moksha. Otherwise, vacate the place. That will be the lot of most people. So, tivra mumuksha, intense desire, makes a person ignore all discomforts. And mahati upeksha. Upeksha literally means indifference, but here vairagya. And it's an absence of raga and dvesha. A neutral attitude with respect to creation is called upeksha. So if intense desire for moksha is there and intense vairagyam with regard to world is also there, sandwiched between tivra mumuksha and tivra vairagyam, titiksha will grow very well. So chobhe cha ubhe, both of them, sahakaranam, sahakari karanam, they are supportive causes for titiksha. Now he concludes the topic in the next shloka. Shloka 149. Tasma titikshaya sodhva tatta dukkamu pagatam kurya chaktyanu rupena shravanadishanaishanaihi. Tasmat. So since titiksha is very important for attaining moksha, tatta dukkam upagatam. So the sodva, supagatam sodva, enduring all the discomfort that comes on the way to moksha. So unless it is a big obstacle, remedy is a must. You don't bother about smaller obstacles because, you know, the main sadhana is something else. So we want to make sure that we accomplish the main sadhana. Sodva means sadhanam kritva, enduring minor obstacles and difficulties, upagadam, which arrive because of prarabdha. Prarabdha forces it on you. So titikshaya, by raising your endurance level, naturally, no, I know, I don't have time because I am not particular about perfect conditions. In whatever available setup, you want to move on, just move on. Therefore, time is available, mind is also available, both of them you can find if there is titiksha. And within that available time, what one should do? All these are all for primary sadhana. Jnana yoga, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Therefore, kuriyat. May you practice jnana yoga. And Shankaracharya is very considerate. Shakti anurupena, according to your capacity. He never pressurizes because the brain has got a limit on how much it can take also. The guru may be ready to give, you know, 5 talks per day, but Shishya may be able to go through them because Vedanta is a serious topic. He may not be able to go through all of them and he may need time to assimilate them. So Shakti anurupena, may you practice jnana yoga in the form of shravanadi, shravanam, mananam and all that. And there also he says, shanai shanaihi. Your aim is not finishing. Shanai shanaihi means you have to go at your pace without compromising on the understanding. And the next sloka has an abnormal meter, so we have to read it like a prose. So we cannot chant it. So this is called Vishamavrittam. We have already seen these things earlier. Uparamayati karmani iti uparati shabdena katyate nyasaha nyasena hi sarvesham shrutya prokto vikarmanam tyagaha. Shloka 152 is this shloka. So the topic of titiksha is concluded. Now Shankaracharya enters into the next value, namely uparama or uparati. And he treats this also very, very elaborately. Just like Shama was discussed over 27 verses, if you remember, uparama is discussed from shloka 152 to 208, large section. So many verses on uparama. And in Tattvabodha, uparama was given in one sentence. Uparamakkaha swadharmanushtanameva. Over. There it was done only just by giving a crisp definition. He treats it so elaborately here because the word uparama has got several meanings and emphasizes different sadhanas through the word uparama. So in Tattvabodha, uparama was defined as what? Swadharma anushtanam. Committed pursuit of one's own grihastashrama dharma, especially consisting of pancha mahayajnas and all, which means what? Avoiding or withdrawing from all the other kamya karmas and nishiddha karmas, meant for worldly purpose, all those things, you know, one should get out of them. So renounce kamya nishiddha karmas and stick to nityam naimittika karma. For what? For chitta shuddhi. Therefore, uparama literally means withdrawal from kamya nishiddha karma and commitment to swadharma. This is the meaning given in Tattvabodha. And in Viveka Chudamani, it is given as continuing the control of the mind achieved through shama and dhamma, maintenance of the control of the mind. That is how it was defined in Viveka Chudamani. It is not like avoiding certain things during vratam, like fasting, where the dhyanam is on food and not on Bhagavan, and compensate by feasting at the end. It is not shama and dhamma practice alone. Lifelong maintenance of that is called uparama. There is a third meaning by several other acharyas, including Shankaracharya also in this work, that is in sannyasaha, renunciation. Uparama also refers to sannyasa, renunciation of grihastashrama and entering the monastic lifestyle. So, vividisha sannyasaha. We have already seen this word long ago in so many other contexts. So, taking sannyasa for practicing shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, at least a shravanam in a gurukulam, that is called vividisha sannyasaha. So, it is like study holiday or a working person sabbatical, we can call all that. So, the only difference is there you are sabbatical and come back after the sabbatical is over. But in sannyasa ashrama, you cannot come back to another ashrama. Though some don't give up sannyasa ashrama, but they involve themselves in worldly activities also, in the sannyasa ashrama also. So, even a sannyasi is not away from karma all the time. He is away during the study. Thereafter, lokam sangrahamevapi sampashyanna. All this, the loka sangraha, all these terms are familiar to you from Gita lectures. And this sannyasa ashrama is taken as the meaning of uparama. This is another meaning by Shankaracharya, and he is going to discuss that topic of sannyasa. So, but the traditional classic sastraic sannyasa ashrama, which is in the mind of Shankaracharya, has now become very, very non-relevant. So, when Shankaracharya talks about sannyasa ashrama, he clearly defines it as formal renunciation of Vedic rituals. A grahastha takes up Vedic rituals formally, like joining a company by taking the appointment order and all that. Then he has to resign the company also in a proper way. The formal taking of grahastha ashrama and Vedic rituals is initially through upanayana and later with agni adana karma. The renunciation of sacred thread and agnihi, so the niragnihi, that is the formal renunciation of Vedic rituals. And the most fundamental Vedic ritual Shankaracharya talks about when referring to karma is Agnihotra. So if you ask the average Hindu today what is Agnihotram, he may only blink. This is the most fundamental daily, not yearly ritual to be done in the morning and evening. When Vedic rituals are not there, what will he renounce? Like a person says, I renounced my car. When did you have a car? He never had a car. Then what is that to renounce? I just renounced. You cannot renounce something which you don't have. So, Vaidika karma, sannyasaha, means in a formal ritualistic manner is the sannyasa ashrama, that renunciation. Therefore, we are discussing this sannyasa only academically. On the other hand, we can redefine sannyasa as is the sannyasa that we have to understand in the present day. And what is the aim of sannyasa? If you look at it, it's like sabbatical. Sabbatical means I require time and mind for involving myself in Vedanta. And that is sannyasa. You may find time to sit in the class. That is great. But during this 1 hour, one should be physically and mentally in the class. You may or may not be. What is the use of physical presence and mental absence? One method for finding time is, Swamiji gives this acronym, port reduction. Port reduction, P-O-R is an acronym. Reducing, port means, P means possessions. I don't know whether I have told you earlier. And O refers to obligatory duties. And R refers to relations. And T refers to transactions. So, possessions, duties, relations and transactions. And possessions must reduce, otherwise you will spend a lot of time maintaining them. Obligatory duties, you only do whatever duties are already there, but don't add more. And relations, you maintain all current available relationships, but do not add more relationships. Maintaining relationship requires regular visits. You have to remember date of birth, wedding days, all that is a big hassle. And then transactions, T, if the first three are there, the transactions will be more and more. And all these four are interconnected. So, possessions, so all those things, possessions, obligatory duties, relations and transactions. So, if you have any one, it will increase the other three, like the four legs of the table. If you pull one, the other three also will come down. So, therefore, port reduction will give time for Vedanta. This is one part of sannyasa, whether you are in USA or anywhere else, doesn't matter. And there is a second one which Swamiji says, it is called clasp rejection. This is another acronym called clasp rejection. Note that port reduction, because you cannot abolish all ports, that is possession, obligatory duties, relations and transaction, you cannot abolish all of them, but you can reduce as much as possible. Clasp you have to reject. Port complete reduction may not be possible. You can reduce it. Clasp is one has to reject. Clasp means what? Clasp, C-L-A-S-P. C-L refers to claiming ownership and controllership. I own and I want to control, which leads to mental search, stress and worry. Clasp. And what is the truth? I don't own anything. Bhagavan is the owner. I cannot control anything. I am not able to control my own body and mind. Therefore, stop all claiming I am the user and contributor. That is the fact. I use and contribute and then forget. So whatever happens, let it happen, including raising children. We can never control our children's future 100%. Therefore, we do our best. Worrying does not solve the problem. And clasp, so CL means this, and then A refers to anxiety, constantly thinking of them. So whenever anxiety comes, go to CL and reduce it, and anxiety will come down. And SP, the CLA SP, SP is special prayer. If you want to pray for every child, every grandchild, every great grandchild and its in-laws, you will only be doing prayer all the time. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. Swamiji, can I say sarve and add my, will it include my grandchild? Grandchild is included in sarve also. So if you enter special prayer, astrologer, etc., it will be endless. Prayaschitta will be there. Each astrologer will suggest, you know, some prayaschitta or the other. Therefore, raise your titiksham and put up with all issues. A person who is a sannyasi cannot do any ritual as a prayaschittam. A sannyasi cannot go to the astrologer. And even if he consults, he cannot do any ritual because he has renounced his right to do rituals. Then what? Let prarabdham takes its own course, prarabdhaya samarpitam. Therefore, in formal sannyasa, special prayers are banned. In an informal sannyasa, I should try to avoid special prayer. In grahastha ashrama, it may be difficult because other members will pressurize me. And therefore, it doesn't matter. If we cannot avoid, we can at least reduce. Then the mind will be relaxed. Ananyas chintayantomam, yajana paryupasate, Tesham Nityabhi Yuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. Bhagavan gives his promise to every sannyasi. You take sannyasa, I will take care of you. Therefore, surrender to God and be relaxed. Stop worry over family, and this is called clasp rejection. Port reduction, clasp rejection. Doing these two things, namely port reductions, will give me time. Clasp rejection will make the mind available for me. This is called sannyasam in modern sense. Whether you like, whether you take a kavi, kashaya, vastram or not, this will enable me to accomplish this objective. Now if you come to this shloka, shloka 152, uparamayati karmani iti uparati shabdena kathyate nyasaha. Nyasenahi sarvesham shrutya prokto vikarmanam tyagaha. This is the shloka. So discussing the various qualifications required for moksha, Shankaracharya has discussed viveka, vairagyam, and the third qualification of a group of six disciplines, shama, dishatka, sampatti, of which he has already covered shama, dhamma, and titiksha. Now the topic of uparati, uparama, Shankara is now taking. He takes a particular meaning of uparama, as I told you, as vaidika karma sannyasaha, renunciation of Vedic rituals. So Shankaracharya does accept the importance of karma for Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhayem karma. He himself wrote in Viveka Chudamani, purification of the mind. So until this purification is accomplished, one has to remain either in Brahmacharya Ashrama or in Grahastha Ashrama and continue to perform the rituals like Sandhya Vandanam, Agnihotram, all that. And the full result of Vedic karma or karma yoga is accomplished when a person's desire for liberation becomes very intense. And the desire for liberation should become so intense that it should swallow all other worldly desires. The intensity of desire is measured in terms of the number of other desires it swallows. Spiritual desire is a cannibal which eats up all other worldly desires. And when the intensity has reached its height, one doesn't have any other desire other than this single desire. And not only it should reach tivrata or intensity, in parallel, his detachment from worldly things also must reach its height. Then one doesn't have the attachment to anything, including family. When desirelessness and detachment reach their peak, then the karma has done its job. In fact, the role of karma ends at this stage. And for such a person, since karma doesn't have any more role to play, Veda offers a possibility of formal. A ritualistic way, actually, of renouncing ritual by which he removes all the indications of Vaidika karma, like the sacred thread, tuft, all this he is supposed to keep. So, he renounces all of them formally. So, in sannyasa ashrama, he can pursue only one thing. Sannyasa ashrama is designed exclusively for the pursuit of moksha, and moksha alone. In sannyasa ashrama, he can pursue only one thing. It is for only moksha. There is no provision for pursuing any other thing in sannyasa ashrama. And if I want to pursue something else in addition to moksha, Veda says, better continue in grahastha ashrama or brahmacharya ashrama. Don't take up to sannyasa. So choose sannyasa ashrama only when you don't have any other pursuit. And if karma has become redundant, and therefore grahastha ashrama and brahmacharya ashrama has become redundant, for such a person, what should he pursue in sannyasa ashrama? It is the pursuit of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and nothing else. So for the survival of the body, he can seek bhiksha from grahasthas. So without choosing the bhiksha, whatever bhiksha comes, he manages with that. This formal renunciation of Vaidika karma is called Vaidika sannyasa. And nowadays there is another type of sannyasa called Laukika sannyasa also, which is taken by many people for renouncing worldly duties, which even though they are not performing any Vaidika karma at all. So it comes under informal renunciation. Shankaracharya, he strongly argues that karmas are non-relevant after a certain stage. And once that happens, a person can renounce Vedic rituals. But it should be in a proper manner only, not while remaining in grahastha ashrama. Renunciation of Vedic rituals also should be done properly. It is pratyavaya papam if it is not done that properly. He has to leave grahastha ashrama, take to sannyasa ashrama, go to a guru, tad vijnanartham. So all that thing we already seen, like Indra and Virochana, who went to Prajapati for knowledge, as we saw in Chandogya Upanishad, Prajapati Vidya, if you remember. So we should keep in mind that this kind of sannyasa ashrama by a qualified person is what Shankaracharya is discussing here. That is why I have to give all this introduction, because it is not the sannyasa ashrama that we normally understand. Therefore, he wants to establish that even after karma has purified the mind, karma does not have any role to play because it cannot give jnanam or moksha. Karma cannot give jnanam or moksha. Suppose I want to know the color of the dress, for example, I should use the instrument of knowledge called pramanam in the case I. In this case, eyes. I cannot use ears or any other pramanam. If you look at the cloth and in half a second, the job is over. We know the color. It is orange color or red color, whatever color it is. So, jnana utpattihi pramanena sambhavati. Suppose I say, I don't want to use any pramanam. I want to be different. I will change this. Actually, Swamiji has told earlier, and I have also mentioned some such thing earlier. I want to recite Vishnu Sahasranam. For what? For knowing the color of the cloth. Vishnu Sahasranama will purify the mind, but even if you chant 100 times, it will never give you the knowledge of the color of a cloth. Our respect for Vishnu Sahasranama should not make us foolish. Respect means understanding what it can give and what it cannot give. Chanting is a verbal action, and action cannot produce worldly knowledge nor spiritual knowledge. So, karmana na laukika jnanam va or atma jnanam va. If I want knowledge, I should use the appropriate pramanam. Vedanta Shastram is the pramanam for atma jnanam. Shankaracharya, he wants to establish that karma cannot give moksha. Karma can purify the mind, but a pure mind is not a wise mind. Before karma, one had impure, ignorant mind. After karma, one will have pure, ignorant mind. From impure, ignorant mind to pure, ignorant mind only karma can do. Therefore, after purity, one has to do shravanam, and shravanam alone. Nothing else will help in getting what he is after, namely moksha. And Shankaracharya wants us to register this message very clearly. Then the role of sannyasa ashrama will be clear. Whether we take sannyasa or not, we should have clarity on the role of sannyasa ashrama. So, in the first part of sannyasa discussion, Acharya establishes that karma cannot give moksha. The second part of sannyasa discussions he will give later. So, first he says Uparamaha. Uparamaha refers to what? Sannyasa here, or formal renunciation of Vaidika Karmani. And look at this line now. Uparamayati Karmani Uparati Shabdena. By using the word Uparama or Uparati, Karmani Uparamayati. The scriptures encourage the spiritual seeker to drop the karmas. After what? After the seeker develops intense desire for moksha, to the exclusion of all other things. Remember the Nachiketa story of Kathopanishad. Yamadharmaraja offered house, land, gold, elephant, everything, free, with only one condition. What did he say? Don't ask for moksha. We have to mentally ask ourselves what I would have done in Nachiketa's place. So, whatever else Bhagavan offers, free of cost, without batting an eyelid, without thinking twice, instantaneously, I should say no. And I should say, I want spiritual knowledge, moksha. That is the intensity. Once that is there, Veda says, Uparati Shabdena Karmani Uparamayati. Katyate Nyasaha. This dropping of the karmas is called Nyasa or sannyasa. Nyasaha means renunciation. Me plus us to renounce. And nyasenahi, by resorting to the formal Vedic renunciation, shrutya karmanam tyagaha proktaha. And what type of karma? Vikarmanam, vihita karmanam. The visheshanam vi refers to vihita karmanam. All the karmas which are prescribed by the Vedas, they all can be dropped. Like when you pass the examination, examiners allow you to go to the next class. Don't say, I love this class very much, I want to stay here. And the teacher is so lovable, and I want to sit in 6th standard for one more year. You are supposed to go to the 7th standard. Similarly, from Karma Yoga, we are supposed to dedicate our life to Jnana Yoga. Iti vikarmanam veda vihita karmanam nyasaha proktaha. This is the proposition. Now, Acharya wants to elaborate this in the next shloka, shloka 153, we'll read. Karmana sadhyamanasya anityatvam shruyate yataha karmana anena kim nitya palepso paramartinaha. So, here Shankaracharya says, by doing the worldly action or shastraic action, we can fulfill several of our worldly desires. We know kayikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma, all upasanas, they all come under mental karma. All parayanam, japam, etc., they all come under verbal karma. And all puja, pilgrimage, etc., they come under kayikam karma, physical karma. So through that we can get dharma, artha and kama. Artha means all types of wealth, kama all forms of sense pleasures belonging to even higher lokas like bhuvar loka, suvar loka, mahar loka, jana loka, tapo loka, satya loka, where all better pleasures, sense objects are all available. Veda talks about all these possibilities, but also says any amount of karma you do that is finite because you are doing them with your finite body and finite instrument for finite time. You may do laksha archana, koti archana many times, doesn't matter. But since all the karmas are finites, as the cause is, so the result will be. And hence, all karma palam will also be finite. You can enjoy them for some time. And then you will find the amount in your credit card is depleted and nothing is left. Kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. Therefore, even if you go to Brahma loka and enjoy the pleasures, once the karma is over, one has to come back. Therefore, it is anityam and has three doshas. This also we have seen in detail earlier. Dukkha mishritatvam, still there. It is mixed with pain. When it ends, it will never give you total satisfaction because it is finite, and it will make you more dependent because once I am used to certain pleasures and comfort, I am enslaved by them. At first, I am their master, but after some time, they become my master. Because they don't work, I am disturbed. They can make me unhappy. Karma can never give permanent result. Moksha is defined as the eternal one. Therefore, karma cannot give eternal moksha. This is very important to understand. We ourselves experience the impermanence. We do not need Veda to say that at all. We ourselves experience that. We earn money and build up a bank balance. And if you stop earning money and start spending, what happens? It gets depleted. Therefore, anityatvam shruyate. Actually, in Mundaka Upanishad, we saw this also. There is a beautiful shloka. Plavahyete adrida yajna rupaha. Ashtadashoktam avaram yeshu karma. Etachreyom ebi nandandi mudaha. Jara mrityum te punarevapi yanti. For this reason only, we say even the popular bhakti people practice in the form of Nitya Puja, Nama Sankirtanam, they are all great sadhanas. But they are all karma only. They will give different results or even Chitta Shuddhi, but can never give Jnanam or Moksha. Shankaracharya is very categorical. If you have a doubt, one can try also. Take the Japamala and start Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You won't know. You have to employ the relevant Pramanam. Pramana Janyam Jnanam natu karma janyam. Even if it is the most sacred karma in the world, and we should not feel bad to assert that. So, no such thing at all. Bhagavan will be happy because he is not going to punish us for any of those. Bhagavan will be happy because he knows we are using our brain a little bit, at least in understanding the jnana, jnana marga. Bhakti doesn't mean renunciation of thinking. Many people think to become a bhakta, you should activate the tear glands and, you know, tears should roll. And, you know, activate the tear glands and deactivate the brain. Some people even think all that. Thinking tells me karma cannot give jnanam, and Veda also confirms that. Shruyate, yataha, tasmat, therefore, anena karmana, by all these karmas, nitya palam ipsa. For a person who is interested in nitya palam, that is moksha, and moksha alone, moksha ipsaha, paramarthinaha. For the seeker of paramartha or parama purushartha, purushartha called moksha, karma has no relevance. One has to be very careful in understanding this. Shloka 154. Utpadyamapyam samskaryam vikaryam pariganyate chaturvidham karma sadhyam palam nanyadi tapparam. Here the Acharya says that all karmas whether worldly karmas or scriptural religious activities, they can do only four types of jobs. What are the four top jobs? He says, Utpattihi, Aptihi, Samskaraha, and Vikaraha. So, Utpadyam, karma, it can produce something like a farmer produces crops with his efforts. Utpadyam, karma. Then, Apyam, karma, helps in reaching a destination. Like when you travel and reach Kailas or Manasarovara, any of those places. And third is Samskaryam, karma. That is a purifying karma. And Vikaryam karma, it helps in modifying one thing into another. So these are four possible results or products of karma. And what is moksha? Moksha is Brahman. Because in Vedanta, moksha prapti is identical with Brahma prapti. Because both of them are one and the same, we will use the word Brahman in the place of moksha. Now we have to ask the question, is Brahman attainable through production, by reaching, by purifying something, by modifying something? All that we should ask and understand. Is it a purified result? It is a reached result, produced result, or modified result. Acharya says, Brahman doesn't come under any of these things, four things. Therefore, karma is not relevant in the context of moksha. Itaha param anyat palam nasti. There is no fifth result, anyat palam, no fifth result possible for karma other than these four. Hereafter, Shankaracharya is going to take each one of them and elaborate them. That is, number one, is Brahman producible? You sow Brahman seed, for example, and reap Brahman crop. Is it possible? It is not possible. So if you look at the next shloka, Naitadhanyatamam Brahmam kathabhavitum arhatim svatasiddham sarvadaptam shuddham nirmalam akriyam. So Brahma na yetat anyatamam. Here Brahman and moksha are interchangeably used, as I told. So Brahman or moksha is not any one of these four. Anyatamam. Which four? Production, reaching, purifying and modifying. That's what we just now mentioned, all four. Bhavitum arhati. Why? Svatasiddha. Because Brahman is already there, eternally existent. So you need not produce it. And number two, sarvada aptam. It is ever attained. It is always reached because what is the place Brahman resides? Where is Brahman? Don't say Brahman is in Vaikuntha or Kailasa. Because Vaikuntha Ekadasi is moved. All those things are all there. Don't think Bhagavan or Brahman is in some place. The very word Brahman means infinite, all-pervading. And so you don't have to travel to reach Brahman because it's all-pervading. And number three, Shuddham Nirmalam. It is ever pure and free from all impurities. No purification process is needed. And that is why when we say Karma Yoga is meant for Shuddhi, Shuddhi of what? We say Chitta Shuddhi, not Brahma Shuddhi. Because Chittam requires Maha purification. But Brahman doesn't require any purification. And the fourth one is Akriyam. It is not subject to any modification. Akriya means that which is nirvikara. Now in the following shlokas, Acharya is going to explain each one of them very patiently and very systematically. All this must be very well assimilated. Then only we will know what is jnanam and what is moksha. Because many times all this confusion, through karma I can gain moksha, through bhakti I can gain moksha, all those things are all, they are all widely spread. You have to understand this concept fairly clearly. Otherwise, the student will attend the Vedanta classes for 25 years and will finally ask the question, when will I get moksha? The very question reveals that these portions are either not learnt or successfully forgotten. So, where is the question of getting moksha? So, if it is a thing to get, it will come. Students ask for a special blessing, normally on New Year's Day and all, they ask for special blessings. At least in this Janma, I should get moksha. When we ask them for moksha, I should ask myself, if I have assimilated these teachings at all, if I have, these questions should never arise even in my dream. Shloka 1, 56. Nachasya kachit janitem tyagamena nishidhyatem karanam brahmanas tasmat brahmanotpadya mishyatem. From here onwards, Acharya will negate each of the four separately. First one is Utpattihi, Utpattihi Nishedaha, which was already indicated by the word Swatasiddham, which is explained in this shloka. Acharya quotes another Upanishad called Shvetasvatara Upanishad. There is a, in the sixth chapter, there is a mantra here. Nacha asya kaschit janita. What does it mean? Asya brahmanaha janita na asti. Nobody can produce or create this Brahman. Janita means creator. There is no creator of Brahman. We don't say there is no creator. We say Brahman is not a created or produced entity. Not because Brahman is not there, but because it is already there. Iti, through this mantra, agamena, by this Vedic mantra, nishidyate, it is negated. What is negated? Brahmanaha karana. A cause for Brahman is negated. If Brahman doesn't have a cause, then Brahman cannot be an effect or a product. So, where is the question of Utpatti then? So, once I say Brahman cannot be produced, Brahmanotpadyam ishyate. Brahman is not producible, not a product. Shloka 157, I may have some time to do that. It's a complicated shloka.
Aptrapyayostu bedascheda aptrachapyam avapyate aptrusvarupame vaitate brahmanapyam kadachana.
The second one is reaching. First one is producing, second one is reaching. Brahman cannot be reached as a particular goal or destination. Why? To reach something, two conditions are required. We have seen all this also earlier. Number one, it should be different from me. And number two, it should be distant from me, away from me. For example, Manasarovar Kailas. It is a destination to be reached because it is different from me and it is also away from me. For example, the cloth, the shirt I am wearing, it is different from me, but I still can reach the cloth because it is not away from me, but it is on my body. So, it should be both distant and should be different. Now, Shankaracharya says, Brahman doesn't fulfill either of these two conditions. Brahman cannot be distant. How can an all-pervading Brahman be away from me? And through all the Mahavakya Upadesha, Upanishad says, Brahman is not different also. Etat atmyam idam sarvam tat satyam saatmam tatvam asi shvetaketoho. We saw it in Chandogya Upanishad. That Brahman happens to be you yourself, the seeker. And how can you travel to reach yourself? Brahman being myself, I can never travel to reach Brahman. And then, aptru apyayo bedaha chede. Bedaha means difference between aptru, the traveler, and apyam, the destination. If there is a difference and a distance between the traveler and destination, chet, in that condition, aptru apyam avapyate, the destination is reached by the traveler who is different and distant. But unfortunately or fortunately, what happens? Aptru swarupam eva etad brahma. This Brahman is the Upanishad is talking about. The Brahman that the Upanishad talks about is the very nature of the seeker. Swarupam means very nature. A wave cannot travel to reach water. Why? Water is the very swarupam of the wave, the nature of the wave. Actually, Swamiji quotes a Hindi poem also. He quotes this many times also. I don't know whether I have quoted this earlier. Lehar dunde leharako, kapada dunde sutko, jiva dunde brahmako, tino utke ut. Lehar dunde leharako means the wave went in search of water. And kapado dunde sutko, the cloth went in search of the thread. And similarly, the jiva went in search of Brahman. Ut, ke ut means the worst, most foolish person is that person. How can the wave go in search of water? How can you go in search of Brahman when you happen to be essentially Brahman itself? This is the substance of this particular poem. So, this is what that shloka says. So, tasmat brahma kadachana na apyam. It is never reachable one. And the next one talks about the purification. Malinasyaiva samskaraha darpanaderi heshyatem vyomavan nitya suddhasyam brahmanonaiva samskriya. The word samskara or samskriya is called refinement. Shastra divides into two types of refinement. One is the removal of the contamination or impurity in the object. For example, if water has impurities, then you filter it or heat it up. Purification involves removal of the unwanted impurities or adding something to increase its value or its power. So, dosha apanayanam guna adhanam. These are the two things. Removal of the defects and adding beauty. Beautification means guna adhanam. When we go for bath, dosha apanayanam, because impurities are removed. And then after taking a bath, what we do in front of the dressing table, dressing mirror, you know, put all lotions, talcums, powders and all that. For what? Guna adhanam. So that is why bathroom and dressing room, they are in the neighborhood. Because both go together in making one presentable. Now, why can't we do something like that for Brahman? Brahman, you cannot add positive attributes because it is Nirgunam Brahma. So, no guna can be added. Brahman, you cannot add positive attributes. And you cannot remove any dosha from Brahman because Brahman doesn't have any dosha also. So, shlokas 158 and 159, they negate. So, dosha apanayanam and shloka 160 negates guna adhanam, beautification of Brahman. So, the 158th shloka talks about malinasya eva samskaraha. Malinam means whatever has become dirty or dusty. Here the example given is a mirror. When the mirror is dirty, you will not be able to see your face clearly. So, what do? We wipe the mirror. Malinasya darpanadehe samskaraha ityate. Cleaning can be done by wiping or melting metals like iron to remove impurities in its own form. You know, all this war purification and all we know. So, gold comes through so many stages of purification. Tons of ore after purification is reduced to mere some kilos of or grams of that metal. There are many such processes and they all come under dosha apanayana. And what about Brahman? So, vyomavat nitya shuddhasya. Brahman, which is ever pure, like akasha. So, samskriya naiva ityate. There is no samskriya, there is no question of purification at all. Samskara refers to purification rituals. As I said, by doing karma yoga and all that, we are not purifying the atma, but we are purifying our mind, which gets impure. Almost every transaction adds impurities like frustration, anger, hatred, jealousy. And so our minds require purification for gaining knowledge, but Atma doesn't require purification at all. Shloka 159. Kena dushtena yujyetham vastu nirmala makriyam yadyoga adakadam dosham samskaro vinivartayet. So any object can get dirty or impure because of contact with another impure object. That is why those who talk about health awareness, they ask you to wash your hands, especially now the present the coronavirus stuff. Wash your hands regularly when you go out and handle many things, especially those things that are handled by so many people, all that thing they say. So that might have some contagious disease. And with their contaminated hand, with that hand, they would have handled the door. Public doors are handled by thousands of people. You touch them and go home and straight away eat food. They say the most impure thing in the world is actually the currency note. Almost every surface you touch is impure. We just can't see with our eyes. You can see with the microscope only. So a thing becomes dirty because of dushta sanyogaha, contact with an impure thing. Even the mind can become dirty when you have got dusanga, when you have friends with different kinds of thinking. Constant association with materialists make me a materialist also. So dusanga is not only at the physical level, it is also at the mental level. So this problem Brahman doesn't have. Why? Brahman is asangaha, non-contaminable, like akasha and prakasha. So if Brahman had dushta sanyoga and it became impure, then you'd have to wash Brahman. Acharya says, what does samyoga cause? What impurity for Brahman it will cause? Kena dushtena yujyeta. With what impure object can Brahman can come in contact with? What type of Brahman? Nirmalam akriyam vastu. Pure and motionless Brahman. We move all over. Brahman doesn't move anywhere. Yedo aghatam agatam dosham. If the sangha had taken place and if the impurity had come, which is imagination again, agatam dosham, because of the possible impurity, samskara vinivartayet. Can the purificatory process eliminate that for Brahman? Such a sangha is not there, nor is there such a dosha also, and such a samskara is not at all required for Brahman. Vinivartayet, it is not required. With these two shlokas, dosha apanayanam problem is over. Now the guna adhanam problem, that value addition for Brahman, will be talked about in shloka 116, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilina sayaparasamaheshwarah. Sri Krishna arpanamastu. Narayana.